Good morning, and welcome to the fourth quarter 2021 Gentera's conference call. Now I'd like to turn the floor over to Mr. Enrique Barrera, Investor Relations Officer of the company. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you all for joining us and for your continued interest in Gentera. I'm Enrique Barrera, the company's Investor Relations Officer. I'm very pleased to introduce our management team. With us today are Mr. Enrique Mayos, Gentera's Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Patricio Diez de Bonilla, Banco Compartamos Chief Executive Officer, Mario Langarica, Gentera's Chief Financial Officer. They will review the results for Gentera for the fourth quarter period as per the report that was issued yesterday. Please note that during this presentation, Gentera may make forward-looking statements. These do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, or financial results. Additional information on forward-looking statements can be found in the disclaimer located in our earnings release. If you did not receive a copy of the release, or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department in Mexico City. If you are a member of the media, we ask you to contact us directly. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Mayos for his presentation. Enrique, please go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for being with us in this first call of the year in which we will report our Gentera's fourth quarter 2021 results. Let me start by expressing our sympathy and for all the people of Ukraine. Our soul, our heart are with them. And, of course, we pray for a solution of this conflict in the short term as soon as possible. Well, today we have the following highlights that we would like to address. In the first place, we would like to talk about a quick overview of Gentera's results for the closing year. Second, we will talk about Gentera's digital transformation journey, and I will give you an update on this. And third, we will talk about our expectations for 2022, which, by the way, looks as a very promising year, including our Gentera's 2022 guidance. By the way, we also have very good news regarding our 2021 EPS and the potential dividend payout in case our proposal is authorized by the shareholders' meeting next April. Let me start by expressing my gratitude to all the members of the management teams, our staff members, and of course, the members of our board. Along Gentera's history, we have faced several crises, and each of them, we have been made the best of it. Every time we have faced a difficult time, we have came back very strong and with a stronger institution. This crisis has not been the exception, and at the same time, we are sure it won't be the last one. However, we feel very confident that we will successfully overcome any future crisis because we have a world-class management team and a fully supportive and very professional board of directors. So let me start by talking about 2021. For Gentera, 2021 can be defined as the year of the resilience and the recovery. Not only the recovery for Gentera, but in the first place, the recovery year for our customers. It has been a great comeback after 2 years' period of a very complicated situation for everyone, not only locally, but globally. Despite of the difficult conditions, total Gentera portfolio is at the highest point historically, reaching more than 46 billion pesos. In terms of client base, which, by the way, is one of the most relevant indicators to show potential future growth, we grew close to 200,000 credit clients in 2021. This is an outstanding net growth if we consider that during 2021, we let go close to 100,000 customers in Guatemala and write off close we're close to 300,000 customers in Mexico during the year. And our cost of risk is in very good shape, even better than expected. NPLs ended in 2.8%, and cost of risk was 9.4% at the end of the year. In such complicated years, having basically the same NPLs compared to 2019 on pre-COVID conditions is a clear demonstration of the capacity of our staff to support and stand by our customer needs, especially during hard times. As you have also read in our press release, we delivered above our guidance. Gentera's net income in 2021 was 2,625 million pesos, which represents an EPS of 1.48 pesos. As you remember, at the beginning of 2021, we guided 0.85 to 0.95 pesos EPS. Finally, we ended more than 50% above our initial estimation. And overall, we have very solid numbers in terms of capitalization and liquidity. Let me give you now a quick overview of each of our subsidiaries. And Patricio and Mario will give you more detail after my intervention. Banco Compartamos operation in Mexico is having outstanding results. In many ways, results are even better than in 2019, which, by the way, was the year in which we accomplished several historic results. In Peru, we have positive signs of recovery, even if the recovery process is being slower compared to Mexico. This can be explained by the larger terms of the Peruvian loan portfolio and the differences in the regulation rules imposed by the Peruvian regulators. In ConCrédito, we ended the year with a net income of 543 million pesos. This means we are back to the same levels we had in 2019 on pre-pandemic regular conditions. And portfolio reached close to 3 billion pesos, which, by the way, already represents more than 6% of Gentera's portfolio. Yastas reached historic levels of transactions in 2021, reaching 24 million transactions, 12% growth compared with 2020, and 33% growth compared with 2019. Aterna ended the quarter with 9.3 million active policies, which represents a 34% growth compared with the previous year. And Fundación Compartamos continues generating social and human impact in Mexico and in Peru. Through our foundation, Gentera benefited more than 150,000 people in the last year through several education and social support programs to face different contingencies that we had in the year. In one of the most difficult years of our history, we feel strong to continue capturing the opportunities that we see in our future. So let me now talk about 2022 and what are we expecting for Gentera's future. Gentera today's strong position is based on two things. One, a profound knowledge of our customers and their needs, and our clients' and staff resilience when facing difficult times. And second, we have a clear strategy that combines short and long-term initiatives and continues the digital transformation process and evolution. So let me summarize our status in terms of digital transformation. Our transformation strategy is aimed to accomplish basically two things. The first one, to provide increasing convenience to our customers. And the second, to make Gentera a more efficient and profitable company. Aligned to these pillars, It is that we have been working on several strategic initiatives. The most important ones have been explained in our previous calls, so let me now give you a quick update. As promised, at the end of the last year, we concluded building the first version of our credit management digital platform. As we have explained in the past, this platform will give our group and individual lending customers a better experience and will provide also to our loan officers an easier and efficient process to originate and manage their customers and their portfolio. Now that the platform is built, we have been testing it, and in the past week we have had very good results. During the second quarter of the present year, we will roll out, and by the second half of the year, we will be operating fully with this digital platform. As we explained in the past, ConCrédito's business model and digital tools are strategic on our digital transformation process. ConCrédito is not only Gentera's incursion into the consumer credit market. It is also providing us a new product distribution channel with a large growth potential and based on digital platforms. So in a few words, ConCrédito will provide us access to new markets with new products, exponential growth through new distribution channels, including digital distribution platforms, and maybe more important for the long term, ConCrédito provides Gentera the fintech mindset we need to continue the evolution of our operations. In other initiatives, such as Yasta's electronic payment capacities, the digital platform loan officers in Peru, or the new loan officers selection platform based on artificial intelligence, we are also having good progress. By the way, last quarter, we obtained the CNBV, the Comisión Nacional Bancaria, our regulator, the first authorization given to a Mexican bank to operate using the cloud technology. This is another milestone towards our evolution to new technologies. And in Peru, we are also in the process of migrating to a much more solid and flexible core banking system, which will allow us to continue deploying new technologies in favor of our customers and Gentera's efficiencies. So as you can tell, we are very, very excited about the promising future for the following years. So now let me finish my remarks by setting our expectations for 2022. Our guidance for 2022 is to grow Gentera's loan portfolio in a range of 13 to 15%. This represents an EPS from 2.05 to 2.15, a 38 to 45 growth compared to the EPS reached in 2021. As you can see, in 2022, we will be back to 2019 pre-pandemic results. 2022 guidance shows a promising growth, even considering our investment in transformation initiatives, which, by the way, are already included in our numbers. And 2023 and 24 are also expected to be years of solid growth. In addition, yesterday, we proposed to the board meeting a 20% dividend payout to be considered in Gentera's shareholders meeting to be held this April. As you remember, we initially announced a 10% dividend proposal in our last call. However, we believe that the good results obtained in 2021 and our strong level of capital allow us to increase this payout to 20%. The board decided to take this proposal to Gentera's shareholders meeting to look for their authorization, and if accepted, the payment will be made this May. Well, this is my initial remarks, and now I would like to pass the call to Patricio because he will give you more specific information about our operations. So thank you, Patricio, and go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique, and good day to everyone. As always, we appreciate your interest in Gentera. As Enrique said, 2021 will be remembered as the recovery year for our operations after the pandemic. We are very enthusiastic about the solid results that we had at year-end in Mexico and Peru. The operational dynamics show positive trends in most business metrics and are a strong foundation for the coming years. These results show us that the future is promising as we capitalize the lessons learned over the last 2 years. In Mexico, Banco Compartamos metrics are better than pre-pandemic levels. To emphasize some of the achievements in the subsidiary, let me share the following. First, at the year-end 2021, we grew the customer base every month, attracting over 320,000 clients during the year. This represented a 15% growth and is the largest number of customers attracted in a year in the last 9 years. We finalized the year serving 2.5 million customers in Mexico. To give you a little bit more context, the 320,000 customers attracted by Compartamos in 2021 is nearly the size of the third largest player that reports to Provisar Royo Network, which at the end of the third quarter of 2021 was servicing 348,000 clients. Banco Compartamos keep gaining market share in number of customers served and holds 45% of the market in number of customers compared to 39% last year. The microcredit loan portfolio at the year end stood solid at 26.8 billion pesos, a strong 21% growth when compared to 2020, and above what we originally anticipated for the year. As you see, credit demand remained strong during the year. November represented the most important month in terms of loan origination in our history, disbursing more than 12 billion pesos in this month alone. For the full year, Compartamos Mexico disbursed more than 96 billion pesos. A strong growth also came with solid asset quality, representing in December NPLs at 2.1%, which is the best level presented at the end of the year for the past 10 years. Cost of risk for the year was 6.5%, a large improvement compared to 2020, and the best cost of risk seen in the last 8 years. Margin and profitability improved due to the high quality book that we have. Also, productivity per loan officer improved by 18% at the year end 2021 compared to the number of customers served at the year 2020, and a 6.6% increase compared to December 2019. The decisions made in 2020 and the strong dynamics seen in 2021 have supported the solid performance of the business, generating this fourth quarter a net income of 681 million pesos, representing 70% growth compared with the fourth quarter of 2020. For the full year, the net income stood at 2.3 billion pesos, representing a net improvement of more than 3.6 billion compared to the losses presented in 2020, and is nearly the pre-pandemic net income result of 2019. So as you can see, Banco Compartamos is experiencing very robust performance, and our expectation is to keep this good momentum for this year and the future. Now let me jump to the Peruvian operation. In the case of Peru, as I have signaled before, we have followed the same strategy that we implemented in Mexico. We provisioned the expected credit losses for the pandemic in the second quarter of 2021, we took actions to mitigate the challenges related to the impacts in the economic activity generated by COVID-19 and impacts related to the interest rate regulation and market volatility. All the strategic, operational, and commercial decisions made in the past started to pay off since the third quarter 2021. And in this fourth quarter 2021, we continue seeing very good dynamics, as you could see in our results. With the results achieved at the year end, we presented two continuous quarters of net income, and we expect to continue those dynamics in 2022. In this year, when we already expect to see positive net income contribution for the full year in Compartamos Financiera. Now, let me highlight some of the achievements in Compartamos Financiera in this quarter and the year. First, the number of customers started to grow since the third quarter 2021. At the year end, we served 634,000 customers in Peru. During the quarter, loan portfolio grew 5.7% in local currency and 13% year on year. NPL stood at 3.7%, which is an improvement compared to 4.3% in the previous quarter. We are presenting two consecutive quarters with positive net income contribution. This came after five quarters of operational losses. Compartamos Financiera will come back to profitability in this 2022. As we have said in our previous conference calls, the worst for Compartamos Financiera Peru is behind us. We will keep working hard in solving the financial needs of our customers in this country by developing alternatives that support our clients in the fulfillment of their goals and dreams and thus achieving further financial inclusion. We are confident and committed to our Peruvian customers and our local team. We're sure that in the medium term, we will return to a strong dynamics that we were seeing in the subsidiary before the beginning of the sanitary contingency and all the challenges originated by COVID-19. Lastly, I want to thank one more time all the passion and responsibility of our teams in Mexico and Peru, who have been fully committed to serve our clients in harsh times. And looking forward to serve even more this 2022. We are moving fast to serve more clients in a more efficient manner in the future, supported by digital platforms. We are certain that digital transformation process that started in 2021 will gain additional momentum this year, and in this way we will capture all the opportunities that arise in these and following years. Thank you all for your attention. I will now hand over the conference to Mario Langarica, who will review Gentera's fourth quarter's financials. Mario, please go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique and Patricio, and good day to everyone. I hope that you and your families remain safe and healthy. I would like to focus my presentation on the following concepts. One, our portfolio performance and the improvement of our margins. Two, the healthy level of our cost of risk, including allowances, NPLs, and coverage ratios. Third, our control of operational expenses under our 2021 guidance. Four, our strong and improving net income generation and profitability. Five, our liquidity, funding, and capital position. Six, our expectations for 2022. And seven, some comments regarding IFRS implementation 2022 onward. Regarding our portfolio growth and margins, they have kept improving. As mentioned before, Gentera's total loan portfolio amounted to 46.2 billion pesos in 2021, the largest portfolio in our history, growing 13.6% compared to 2020 and 10.9% above 2019. This annual growth was in line with the range guided for the year. In local currency, for each credit subsidiary, loan portfolios grew 21% in Banco Compartamos, 13% in Compartamos Peru, and 31% in ConCrédito versus 4Q20. We have also observed improved performance in all margin lines. Interest income grew 16% compared to 2020, mainly driven by the Mexican subsidiaries, growth in the portfolio and a healthy portfolio mix. Interest expenses decreased 14.6%, mainly by active liability management and a reduction of our extra liquidity positions. This effect resulted in a growth in net interest income of 20% for the full year, reaching 35.5 NIM in 21 compared to 29.7 in 2020. On a quarter-to-quarter basis, dynamics were even better, with a 39.3% NIM in 4Q21, above 29% in 4Q20, and 35.7 in 3Q21. Provisions for loan losses amounted to 3.882 billion pesos, a strong improvement compared to the 6.9 billion in provisions registered in 2020. Net interest income after provisions amounted to 16.6 billion pesos compared to 10 billion pesos in 2020, a 65% growth that resulted in a full NIM after full year NIM after provisions of 28.8 compared to 17.5 in 2020. For 4Q21, NIM after provisions stood at 31.7% compared to 25.2 in 4Q20. The NIM after provisions reached in 4Q21 was the best level that we have seen since the pandemic started. Regarding risk levels, cost of risk in 2021 closed at 9.4%, better than the 10.5 minimum guided for the year. Allowances amounted to 3.47 million pesos, on a consolidated level. As of today, we still maintain 147 million pesos in extraordinary reserves in Compartamos Peru. NPL stood at 2.82, an improvement compared to 3.03 in 3Q21, and a large improvement compared to the 5.43% in 4Q20. In particular, Banco Compartamos portfolio showed excellent asset quality during 2021. Our coverage ratio in 4Q21 amounted to 267%, superior to 189% in 4Q20. Operational expenses. Operational expenses for the year had a 9.3% growth compared to 2020, which was below the guidance that we gave at the beginning of the year. Even after larger than expected incentives for loan officers and loyalty rewards to the clients related to the excellent performance of the portfolio in Banco Compartamos, to some inflation adjustments in wages and suppliers, the disincorporation expenses of our Guatemala subsidiary, the implementation of strategic initiatives, and the implementation of the new outsourcing law costs. For 2022, we expect to grow operational expenses between 12 and 13%, mainly driven by the implementation of strategic and digital transformation projects as the one described by Enrique previously. Two, marketing and campaigns for clients, and three, some additional inflation adjustment for the year. Important to say that this double-digit growth expected for the year will return back to single-digit growth in 2023, since part of the 2022 expenses will not be recurrent. And we expect to start capturing efficiencies of all the digital processes described before during 2023. Also worth highlighting is that due to the implementation of IFRS, this year there will be a reclassification of around 1.2 billion pesos of some credit origination expenses that will move from the traditional operational expenses line to financial expenses at NIM level. Having said this, the IFRS operational expenses will grow around 5%, and we will have the rest of the guided growth reflected at the financial expenses line. In the following quarters, we will give you the detail of both types of expenses, origination and operation, to have comparable numbers going forward. Four, net income has kept growing, maintaining a positive recovery trend. Gentera's 4Q21 net income amounted to 937 million pesos, a very strong 222% growth compared to the net income reached in 4Q20. The cumulative net income for the year was 2.625 billion pesos, representing more than 4.2 billion pesos recovery compared to the losses of 1.635 billion reported in 2020. Gentera's controlling participation amounted to 2.347 billion pesos, representing an accumulated EPS of 1.48 pesos, finalizing well above our original expectation for the year. Gentera's year-end ROE amounted to 11.3% and ROA to 2.8, with improvements in 4Q21. For 2021, ROE amounted to 20.7% in Banco Compartamos and 24% in ConCrédito, either after the strong capital position of our board of subsidiaries. We expect that Peru will have a year of recovery during 2022. Five, we must maintain our strong liquidity funding and capital positions. And as mentioned before, Gentera concluded 4Q21 with a very healthy liquidity position amounting to 13.8 billion pesos. Liquidity levels at each subsidiary are solid and sufficient to fund our growth and are strong to face the opportunities in each local market. As mentioned in previous conference call, we have strong access to different and incremental funding alternatives for the holding company and our credit subsidiaries. We issued successful debt transactions in the market for all our subsidiaries, including a very successful Banco Compartamos first formal social bond. Gentera's strong capital to assets ratio amounted to 35%. Banco Compartamos concluded the quarter with 37% ICAP. Compartamos Financiera with a solvency level above 18%, and ConCrédito with capital to assets ratio above 50%. As Enrique mentioned, our board will propose a 20% dividend payout at our annual shareholders meeting to be held in April. And again, if this is approved, we will distribute the dividend in May. Six, lastly, we are very pleased about the results we're presenting and excited about our plan for Gentera in 2022. As Enrique previously signaled, loan portfolio will grow in a range between 13 to 15%, and EPS will be in a range of 2.05 to 2.15, representing a 38% to 45% growth. With these results, we expect to reach an ROE in 2022 between 14 and 15% and an ROA around 5%. As you can see, we're moving in the right direction to reach our medium-term goal of an ROE above 20%. Just a note before closing, and as mentioned before, we will start publishing our financial statements under IFRS this year. We do not expect major effects neither in the balance sheet nor the income statement. Our credit portfolio will be renamed, but NPLs will still be calculated about 90 days past due. New risk methodology does not significantly affect our loan products, and even though operational expenses will be reclassified, as I explained above, net income will have minor effects. Once we publish our first Q22 results under IFRS, we will give you additional detail of these effects under the new rules. Thank you for your attention. This is all from our presentation, and we can now move forward to the Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow the signal to reach our equipment. Please hold one moment while we poll for questions. Your first question is coming from Ernesto Gabliano with Bank of America. Please pose your question. Your line is live.
Hi, good morning, Carlos, Enrique, Patricio, and Mario. Congratulations in your fourth quarter results and also in your guidance for this year. It seems to be the highest earnings growth among Mexican banks and probably in the region. I have three questions. The first one will be on NIMS. What are you expecting in terms of NIMS for the year? I think there will be a lot of moving parts. As you mentioned, there will be an accounting reclassification from operating expenses to interest expenses of roughly 1.2 billion pesos. But what about the rest of the parts? How much do you think could be related to Concredito? How much do you think would be the impact of the new originations returning to pre-pandemic rates? And what do you think could be the impact of an increase in interest rates of 125 basis points in the year on your NIMS expectations? And then my second question is on non-interest expenses. So after this reclassification to interest expenses, I don't know if you said you're expecting a 5% growth for this year, just wanted to double check. And how much additional room do you have to create synergies at branches? How much of the OPEX growth would be related to the digital transformation? And then my last question is on your ROE expectations. When pulling together your guidance, is it reasonable to expect between 14.5% and 15% ROE this year? And what do you think will be the sustainable ROE? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ernesto. Well, we would expect after this new reclassification of expenses to have a NIM at around 38% and NIMs after provisions around 30%. We expect to still see a continued improvement at all the margins lines during the year in all subsidiaries. But the combined effect together with this new reclassification of financial expenses should give us a number of means around the ranges that I just told you. Interest expenses will grow, as we know, and we have already considered a 6.75% reference rate for the year-end in Mexico and around 4% in Peru. But those numbers are already included in the projections that we gave. Regarding non-interest expenses, well, the total number, again, of growth that we're guiding is around between 12% and 13%, as I mentioned before. And we will be following that total number, and we will be separating going forward what goes in the operating line and what goes in the financial expenses line. As I mentioned, right now, we expect that around 1.2 is going to be the reclassification, and that would give us at the operating expenses line 5%. But remember that the rest is originating expenses, which is also operational expenses. But given IFRS definitions, we will have to bring it up to financial expenses line. And regarding ROE, yes, we expect to have an ROE of around 14 to 15%. Again, as we mentioned before, we have the objective to have an ROE above 20%. That's the next hurdle that we want to reach. This year, the recovery of Peru will help us to be around this range that I just gave you. But hopefully, in 2023, we would be able to reach that medium-term level objective of ROE above 20%.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Mario.
You're welcome.
Your next question is coming from Jason Mullen with Scotiabank. Please pose your question. Your line is live.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity to ask questions. Thinking about Gentera's future growth outlook, can you talk about the addressable market for clients and loans in your business in both Mexico? How the recent years in the pandemic and digital transformation and technological innovation has potentially changed that? It would be valuable to hear your assessment of current market outlook Patricio already mentioned the current market share in Mexico grown versus the prior year, I guess that was. Can you talk about the perspective for the market and Gentera's ability to market share going forward or maintain? And a second question, more general, just about some of the comments that were made about managing through the pandemic and the challenges for Gentera's clients. What were some of the lessons learned? What were the better decisions? And what would manage differently based on what we know today? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jason. I'll jump on in the first question regarding the market size. As you know, both in Mexico and Peru, the addressable market is still very large. People without financial services, it's still the largest part of the market, more so in rural communities. So we think that there's still a large addressable market that requires not only financing for working capital, but for other types of credit, consumer and some other product categories which we are developing. So the addressable market is large. As I said during my remarks, given the pandemic, most of our competitors faced not only operational, but also financial difficulties. And they've been struggling quite a bit to keep their operations going. So in a large market, with a weakened competitive landscape in some cases, we think that there's an opportunity, and you can see that in our guidance, to keep gaining market share both in Mexico and Peru. Again, in Mexico, we now hold 45% of the market in comparison with the 39% we hold prior to the pandemic. And in Peru, even though the individual lending piece of our portfolio, which represents like 80% of what we do in Peru, it's more competitive. Also, the competition there got hit hard by the pandemic, and we have a very strong position locally. But the product that is growing faster and where we see more opportunities is in the group lending piece of the portfolio. As you remember, previous to the pandemic, the growth in Crédito Mujer in Peru was doing very well. And after the adjustments that we made to absorb the cap in interest rates, we think that we are ready to go back to growth in Crédito Mujer as well. So in a nutshell, the market is still very large. The financial inclusion efforts still require a lot of players entering into the market to serve better the segments, but we do think that there's still a large opportunity that we will be able to address, not only with the existing products, but with different products that we are developing on this transformation. And the second piece of your question was the lessons learned. And I think that during the pandemic, we reinforced our values. No? During the harsh times, we took advantage of the strong financial position that we had, and we looked after, first, our employees, and secondly, our customer base, you know? And we developed products and offered services to deal in harsh times with the difficulties of being out there in the marketplace. So the biggest lesson for us was the importance to look after your personnel, your customer base, because after 2020, which had a huge impact, those decisions in our financials, but the 2021, this rebound that we saw, I'm 100% sure that it's because the team is committed with what we do, and the customers valued what we did for them during difficult times, Jason. So I think that that's like the biggest lesson for us. Keep always in mind your personnel and your customer base to take decisions towards them.
Thank you, Pato. And Jason, let me jump also. I think your questions are very interesting and very relevant. And just to point out on the first one, as Patricio said, on one hand, we have a great potential market, and we have the demand there. But I think that you also ask about the relationship between that growth and the digital transformation we are having. And let me tell you that in addition to that potential market that we have there as an opportunity, our digital transformation is aimed to do several things, and as I said, we want to make our product offer more convenient for our customers and make Gentera more efficient. But when you ground these concepts, what you see is that first we have to start by capturing a lot of information and data that we always have had, because we have always been with a large number of clients. We have a large customer base, and we visit them very often, frequently, but we didn't capture that information into our platforms. And now we are developing the digital platforms, and we are those platforms are allowing us in the first place to capture that data. And that data is going to be the raw material for the growth in the future. There we will have much more information and much more communication online with our customers on real time, and that way is that we know that having this, for instance, credit management platform that we are just rolling out, we're going to have a lot of resources to continue growing. So this double-digit growth that we are expecting for this year and the following in Banco Compartamos and in Gentera as an all is based on that. And if we go more specifically, like in the case of Concredito, we are expecting growth between 20% and 30% in the following years because of that information that we are capturing, and because the platforms, the digital platforms, that will allow us to make a more efficient and more convenient relationship with our customers.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your insights and thoughts.
Your next question is coming from Thiago Batista at UBS. Please pose your question. Your line is live.
Yes. Hi, guys. Congratulations on the results. Very strong numbers. I would say that there is only maybe one negative surprise in the earnings, that was the ROE of the Peruvian operation. Can you comment a bit on what level we can see ROE in Peru in 2022? And also, if it's possible to see the ROE of the Peruvian operation back to the pre-COVID level, I think it was high teens or low 20s. So if this is possible in the near term. And just a follow-up on your last question about the changes of Gentera during the COVID period. But in my perception, one of the main changes was the way that the bank is talking with their clients. So in the past, you used to use a lot of group meetings. seems that now you guys are using more the digital ways. Do you believe that this, is this a real change? And do you believe that this change on the way that you are contacting your clients has really changed going forward? Or this change was not permanent?
Okay, thank you very much. Regarding ROE, yeah, well, as we have explained in the past, Peru lacked a little bit on the results, given the nature of the portfolio that it's longer term than Mexico's. But obviously, this is going to be a year of recovery for Peru, as we mentioned. In fact, the last three quarters have been improving, and we expect that Peru will keep recovering for the full year. And even though we may not reach the same level of ROE for Peru in 22, we are sure that we will do it by 23. And again, as I mentioned in the past, the first objective is to have our three main subsidiaries, the credit subsidiaries, above 20% ROE annually. And then Peru is obviously our next objective. And then having them above 20%, we will be able to reach 20% that I was talking about in the first question. For the second question, I think that Patricio or Enrique will continue.
Yes, and I talking about how we are dealing with the communication and contact with the customers, the reality is that we have been using more the technology to deal with our customer base. During the last 2 years, we have not only worked on the digital side, in which we now collaborate with our groups both personally and physically. And together we use technology to do the group and weekly meetings. On top of that, now we have more information about our customer base thanks to the digitization of our processes. And with that, we've been able also to offer better product offerings individually to our customer base. And this is why, for example, other products for cross-selling have been gaining momentum over the last 8 months. So again, going forward, we think that more so the groups will be held and our team will use more technology, which will allow us to be more productive and to reach more customers with the same infrastructure that we have today. And that's encouraging because that helps a lot to have a broader reach without increasing largely our cost base.
Yeah, Thiago, and this is maybe more anecdotic, but I would invite you and all the people listening to the call to visit us in our social media accounts in which we communicate with our customers. It's very enlightening how everyone is moving to this digital world, and they are the first ones who like and use to in a regular basis to communicate with it. We have videos. They put the videos and they upload the videos. So at the end, I think that we are all globally changing, and I think that our customers are even teaching us how to do this because that's the way it works better for them.
No, very clear, and congratulations for the results again.
Your next question is coming from Yuri Fernandez with JP Morgan. Please pose your question. Your line will be live.
Thank you very much, and also congratulations on the results. I have a follow-up on G&A. I guess you mentioned about 12% growth. So just checking that this excludes the 1.2 billion this reclassification to NII. So basically, looking to the same kind of apples to apples, you are growing G&A about 20%, but given you are removing the 1.2, it's just 12%. And regarding a second point, like you're talking about this digitalization, I think it's the right path, right? You must evolve in that direction. But how do you see the entry barriers for the industry? Because one of the main, for sure, you have like underwriting, you have the brand, you have a lot of good things. But one of the entry barriers, I think, is the very heavy, you know, personal intensive way for you to operate the business model, right? So if the microfinance in Mexico and Peru is moving towards digitalization, don't you think new competitors or old competitors may also, you know, close the gap of an advantage that Quintera has today? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. No, the total growth of operational expense of expenses will be between 12 and 13%. Of that, around 1.2 billion will be moved from the traditional operating expenses line to financial expenses. So what we will see on the IFRS is that at the operational expenses level, we will have a growth of around 5.5%, and the rest to get to the 12.3 will be reflected in financial expenses. So the growth, total growth of operational expenses, as we have seen them in the past, is going to be between 12 and 13%.
No, super clear, Mario. Thank you.
In the second question, talking about how we will deal with digitalization, the reality is that we know that the infrastructure, the traditional infrastructure to be close to the customers is very heavy. As you know, we visit our customers every single week in order to see how the groups are doing, to analyze whether we will lend them more money. And that was previous to the pandemic. The reality is, as I said during my previous answer, is that we are taking advantage of the technologies to, instead of visiting physically our customer base, we will use certain technology to be able to monitor the progress of the groups without being in person with each individual every single week. That will allow us, again, to be more productive, to be able to serve more customers with the same team that we have today, which will allow us to be, again, more productive going forward. But we will certainly need a balance between the human touch and the technology-driven methodologies that we are now implementing on the ground. But again, once our customers feel comfortable dealing with technology in the years to come, we will certainly be more skewed on the technology-based kind of dealing with customers. But the first step to do so is, again, trying to leverage our infrastructure, physical infrastructure, with technology to be able to broaden our reach in these 2022 and going forward.
Yeah, and by the way, we believe that this hybrid model in which we are operating and relating with our customers, not only physically but digitally, or not only digitally but physically, it's a great competitive advantage. And I think that we have the benefit of being with our customers when they need that physical contact. And we are hoping, and they are also asking, that those points of contact can be maybe more efficient. And we are taking out all the friction that they historically could have been feeling on a very, very human intensive model, because now we are putting in place a lot of technology that will allow us to be much more efficient in both ways. So as I said, what Patricio explains for me is that we have a great competitive advantage there.
Your next question is coming from Alonso Garcia with Credit Suisse. Please pose your question. Your line is live.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is actually a follow-up on the previous point. I mean, given this balance that you seek to maintain between digital and the human touch, I mean, you mentioned that you saw a loan officer productivity increase of 18% year over year in 2021. So if you could remind us where you are right now in terms of productivity and what's your like mid to long-term goal and what you think you can achieve already in 2022. And my second question is if you could provide some color on the cost of risk that you are incorporating in your EPS guidance, and specifically in the subsidiaries of Mexico and Concreto. In the case of Mexico, my question is how, I mean, the pace of normalization in cost of risk towards a pre-pandemic level, if that to happen. And in the case of Concreto, well, since we don't have much history on that company, if you could provide some color on the level of cost of risk that you expect. Thank you.
Sure, Alonso, thank you for your question. And in terms of our productivity, I can tell you that the most relevant increase on productivity is yet to come. And we are more or less at the same levels that we were in 2021. But what I explained in my initial remarks around the credit management digital platform that, as I said, we ended building it with all the operational and technological elements in December, and we started to test it during January and February. We are rolling out for the rest of the year this platform, and that's the platform that will really give us a relevant jump in terms of our productivity. So it is still something that we need to finish to understand, because obviously we have a learning curve there, not only from our loan officers, but also from our customers. Yes. But definitely we will see that those productivities that we already improved in 2021 are going to increase during this year.
Yes, and regarding cost of risk, the guidance that we're giving for the year is around 10.5% for Gentera. We do not provide details of cost of risk for each subsidiary, but what we can tell you is that the lowest is for Peru, the highest is for Concredito, and then we have the bank in the middle. But the guidance that we're giving is around 10.5, and the EPS that we guided and the includes that those calculations, and the ROE for Concredito will be above 20%, even including the cost of risk.
Perfect. Thank you very much for the answers.
Your next question is coming from George Henderson with Santander. Please pose your question. Your line is live.
Thank you. Hi, congratulations for the very strong results, and thanks for the detailed presentation. My first question is related to loan growth. I understand Concreto is one of your growth pillars ahead, so I understand you plan to increase the weight of Concreto on your loan portfolio. I think you just mentioned that you expect a 20 to 30% loan growth for Concreto this year. Do you see a similar growth for the years ahead? And also, what percentage of your total portfolio do you expect Concreto to represent in the midterm? Do you have a target for this? And my second question is on Peru. And you mentioned you're adjusting your risk models and operation model there. And as you said, this is occurring under the context where the central bank set an interest cap rate of 83%. Considering all these, what is the difference in terms of profitability, say ROE, between individual lending and group lending in Peru? Also, how much room for improvement you see in the group lending business based on your operational adjustments? Thanks.
Thank you, George. And as I said, overall, we are expecting for not only for 2022, but maybe for the next years, a couple of years, a double-digit growth. And that's based on what we have been talking about, the strategic transformation initiative that will give us better technological and digital capacities, and that will allow us to overall, as a group, growth at that rate. And yes, as you said, I mentioned that ConCrédito is especially a great growth opportunity for Gentera. Last year, we grew 30%, and the initiatives that we have in ConCrédito that mainly are related not only to improve the product offer, but also to expand the distribution and origination channels, we believe that will give us a higher growth in ConCrédito. So I think that, as I said, around 20, a little bit above 20% is what we are expecting there.
In the case of Peru, George, first, the cap in interest rates only affected the group lending piece of the portfolio. Again, to deal with such cap, we took actions. First, increasing the minimum balances for the product by 30%. That mitigated a bit the interest income generation due to larger volumes. And secondly, we also took some productivity actions in terms of the infrastructure required to serve customers in rural Peru. So we closed certain offices that, due to the cap rate, were not profitable going forward, or the market size was not large enough in order to maintain them. So those actions, both on the income side and on the cost side, have allowed us to maintain profitability in Crédito Mujer. And on the individual side, the biggest hit that we took the last couple of years were due to larger NPL formation. Again, during 2021, we still had to restructure some loans during the first half of the year, and some of those delinquent loans will be written off the first half of 2022. Again, those loans are already provisioned. We are still provisioning in Peru in excess to deal with potential losses ahead. But the reality is that even though we will be profitable in Peru this 2022, the full potential of the Peruvian operation will be achieved in 2023, when we expect to go back to pre-pandemic levels in terms of returns for this subsidiary. So I hope this answered your question.
And George, let me go back to ConCrédito's question, because I realize that for the last calls, you have been, all of you have been very interested on ConCrédito, and maybe we should give a little bit more of color of that business and the potential it has. So as I said, ConCrédito has different strategic elements for Gentera. One of them is that they have an innovation. It's a company that was born more digitally and have an innovation and fintech mindset. But on the other hand, this growth we are talking about is based on very specific things. First of all, ConCrédito is in the process of geographic expansion. During 2021, they grew from 121 cities to 143 cities. So what, now we are starting the year with more cities. And on the other hand, they had in the past only one distribution and origination channel, which was the traditional Valedinero Empresarias. And now we are adding to that distribution channel two more channels. One of them is that we noticed that the Compartamos clients, the group leaders especially, have a big potential to be also distributors of the product that ConCrédito offers. So that gives ConCrédito an expansion in terms of the distribution channel. And the other one that we have talked about is Creditienda, which is this e-commerce platform that at the end, it becomes another distribution and transactional channel for expanding the business. So that's the rationale behind our enthusiasm around ConCrédito. So I hope this will give you a little bit more information about that very relevant and strategic investment we have made.
Your next question is coming from Carlos Gomez with HSBC. Please pose your question. Your line is live. Carlos, your line is live.
My apologies, I was mute. Congratulations on the result. Two questions. On the medium term, you said that your current 14-15% ROE is something that you want to bring to 20%. Besides the profitability, the high profitability in Peru, what else do you think is going to make the big difference for your profitability? Second question on your capital level, where do you want to go and which indicators are you focusing on in particular? And finally, we have seen some stress in the wholesale funded companies in Mexico with a couple of well-noted defaults of bonds. Again, is that providing you with opportunities? Would you consider extending your activities to the area that maybe these players are going to leave open for you? Thank you.
Hi, Carlos. Well, yes, again, in order to get the objective of ROE above 20%, we will rely, one, in the ROEs of the bank and ConCrédito and Peru, but also in the combined strength of our other subsidiaries. Yastas and Aterna are continuously bringing value to the firm. So we think that with the combination of all of our subsidiaries performing well and with the good management of the rest of the supporting entities, we will be able to achieve that objective of 20%. Regarding capital levels, the first very important capital levels that we need to keep sharp are for the bank, which, as you know, is above 25%, our internal minimum level. And for Peru, we need to be above 17%. So those are the two main capital lines that we need to cover. But obviously, we look at the capitalization of the rest of the entities and including the holding company. But the ones that specifically are very important to keep above the hurdles are for the bank and for Peru. And the third, I think you ask about the funding risks, right?
Well, I ask about the fact that other companies have had funding risks and have actually run into difficulties because of inability to roll over the funding. That is not your case. You are a bank. You have never had any problem with that. Again, does that open opportunities? Would you be tempted perhaps to move into areas that where you have not operated before, like payroll loans?
Well, yes. So as you said, in terms of funding, we have had for many years an expansion of our funding base, and the pandemic was a very strong crisis where we were able to test this. And the outcome is that we increased our funding sources. We have more access. We just did the issuances in all the three subsidiaries, and we're very successful. I mean, we know that this may bring some noise to the industry, but I think that the debt investors clearly differentiate now our model versus the others, and it was very clear in the last social bond for the bank, which we obtained in variable rate, the best spread ever. So obviously that's a competitive advantage, and that allows us to compete both in funding, but also to have access to that liquidity that allows us to bring to our clients that liquidity, and it's a competitive advantage, of course.
Thank you very much.
Your next question is coming from Jose Coca at Citigroup. Please pose your question. Your line is live.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. Thank you for taking my questions and congratulations on the results. Just have two quick follow-ups regarding Credito, just to confirm, and one additional regarding Peru. So Concreto, I just wanted to confirm, I think we saw, even though we saw very good loan growth year over year, I think about 30%, I just wanted to understand a little bit. I think quarter over quarter, it was relatively low, around 1.8%. If I heard correctly, you just confirmed you expect solid double-digit growth for Concreto, 20%, I think. Just wanted to get a sense of what was like the trend that explained this low growth on a quarter-over-quarter basis, not only for long growth, but also for other operating income in terms of Creditienda, I believe, which, again, year-over-year, I think there was an increase, but quarter-over-quarter, I think it was a bit low. So that would be my first question for Concreto. And for Peru, I know you just said that you don't give guidance numbers on cost of risk for Peru, but just wanted to get a sense if it would be safe to assume that in terms of cost of risk, if I'm reading the data correctly for Peru, would it be safe to assume that the worst is over for cost of risk? Thank you.
Thank you, Jose. Well, just confirming, yes, we are talking about that we expect to have between 20 and 30% growth in the following years in Concredito. And last year, it was a very special year for all our business units. And obviously, we were dealing with the portfolio that we managed during the pandemic. And we were making also another a couple of adjustments and innovations in our distribution channels. Maybe as you remember, during last year, we also became branchless in Concredito. And that means that we have the loan officers there in the places where the customers have their business and they live, and we have presence with them. But 100%, or let's say 80% of the relationship with the customer is now digital through very efficient the digital platforms. So we are branchless in terms that we don't have a branch, physical branch on those places. So that allow us to grow in terms of number of cities in which we have presence. At the same time, in 2021, we grew from 45,000 empresarias to 62,000 empresarias, which means a growth close to 50%. And yes, Creditienda is also a very important initiative. Creditienda is now offering products to the clients of the empresarias and to empresarias, and that's the way we are maturing the platform. But for the future, definitely it's a high potential growth channel for Concredito.
And regarding cost of risk in Peru, obviously our objective is to bring back cost of risk in Peru to the pre-pandemic levels. In 2019, the level of cost of risk for Peru was around 5%, and in 2018 it was around 7%. So obviously our objective is to bring back cost of risk in Peru to somewhere between those levels as soon as possible.
And yes, in terms of the portfolio for Peru, got affected due to the actions that we needed to take to deal with the pandemic. Those actions, deferrals, et cetera, made us have certain losses that are already provisioned. Therefore, even though the market is still volatile, the reality is that we don't think that provisions as the ones we saw during 2020 and 2021 will be seen in the coming years. Those were specific to the actions that we took for the pandemic. Therefore, yes, the worst for cost of risk in Peru is behind us, and we will move forward towards the levels of pre-pandemic cost of risk, as Mario said.
Perfect. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Well, the next question comes from Eric Ito from Bradesco. And that's the question. Good morning and congratulations on the strong results. Can we expect on further impacts from your anti-laundering money strategy in 2022? Any time frame for additional concrete acquisition? Okay.
Yes, asset liability management strategy, I think, was the question. And regarding that, yes, we will keep managing our asset liabilities as we have done in the past, actively managing the liabilities to minimize the impact of rate increases. And in particular, we will keep managing liquidity to levels that are more normal. We still have some additional liquidity, but in our projections, we will still reduce it a little bit, even though we want to keep a level in order to protect for potential contingencies. Unfortunately, the news today about Ukraine, obviously, it's not good news for the market. So we think that having some additional liquidity, it's safe. And regarding the dates for Concredito, we expect to continue the remaining acquisition up to the 74.9% that we have already set in August.
Okay.
Yeah, and
okay.
Yeah, we don't have any other relevant investment on site. I think that we have a lot to do. We have huge opportunities with what we have in hand. It's challenging, but very high the opportunity that we have in the following years with all the initiatives that we have explained. So yeah, for the moment, we don't have any other additional investment on site.
With no questions in queue, the question and answer session is concluded. I will now hand the call back over to the management company for the final remarks.
Well, thank you so much. As you can see, we are very happy and we are very encouraging to really put in place what we are planning and what we are now already executing. And we hope we will contribute for a better future for our customers in a world that we know that needs this kind of support. So we hope we are going to put our part on this. And just I would like to end up just thanking again and expressing my gratitude to all the management team and the resilience and, of course, to all our customers. I think that what we have been doing together in the last 2 years is outstanding, and we have a lot to do looking forward. So thank you for your attention, and we will talk in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you all for participating in today's conference call. You may disconnect your phone lines at this time.